27 here on a Thursday. I'll tell you what, I did that interview with Kyle Humphrey, and I could listen to it 100 times. Just growing up in Missouri and then joining the Marine Corps or being joined to the Marine Corps and going to train in Hawaii before the invasion of Island X that would ultimately be Iwo Jima, meeting John. It's almost like, it sounds too hokey, but meeting John Bazelon, a Medal of Honor winner, at the slop shoot, a place where you bought beer for 15 cents in Hawaii when they weren't training, and they could go down to the slop shoot and get drunk. We don't do that anymore. And then the story of his experience on not only on Iwo Jima, but after he came home and how he dealt with it, which is he just put it in the closet. Said he's never been in a VFW or a Legion in his life. Sends him his money, but I never went back there. And at the end of it, he says, but don't think I didn't dream about it. He said, but I didn't lay there and let it bother me. I got it from read a book. So to Cal Humphrey, thank you very much for doing that. And on a day 72 years ago when the flag went up on Iwo Jima, we remember the guys who fought in that battle and their courage and selflessness today. So anyway, I'm privileged to be joined by Mike Bassett. And Mike, first of all, welcome to All Marine Radio. How are you?
I'm great, man. Thank you very much for having me.
No, I mean, let me just give you the background on how Mike and I crossed paths. Mike listened to a segment that we did recently with Boulder Crest Retreat, talking about alternative ways to deal with PTSD. So he shot me an email and he said, "Hey, man, he talked to me about different approaches to it." And I said, "Well, come on, man. Come on and talk about it." He said, "All right." So he had to get it approved, so it took about a week. So here he is. Mike, let's talk about you. Born and raised where?
From Peoria, Illinois originally, so Midwest as well. And right after high school, joined the Marine Corps.
How did the Marine Corps get on your radar, though?
So I'm the youngest of three boys and two of my older brothers. One joined the Army in 2003. He did a year in Iraq from 04 to 05. And then the middle brother ended up joining the Coast Guard. And after high school, I didn't want to stick around my hometown and just waste away like a lot of people did. So I figured being the youngest and one that always got, beat up and bullied by the older brothers, had to show them up and outdo them and join the Marine Corps. So that's how that came out.
All right, so you joined the Marine Corps. What year did you join?
I joined in 2008, left for boot camp, went to NCRD San Diego, Hollywood Marine.
There you go.
And did my training there, MCT, and then I went off to Camp Del Mar at Camp Pendleton to do the AV crewman school.
Is that
dirty AM tracker?
Yes,
have to get that out.
Don't even start with that stuff, all right? But we're, hey, as an infantryman, we run this program. Don't roll with that stuff. Is that what you wanted to do? Did you come in open contract? How did you wind up getting to tracks?
Basically, older brother was a Bradley driver in Iraq, so I figured maybe tanks. So, tell my recruiter that, but that means nothing to them.
Right.
So got, combat service support, and then I swam really well in boot camp and made me an 1833, so.
There you go. If you can swim, we got a spot for you. All right, talk to us about your time in the Marine Corps. First of all, give me a couple people that made a huge dent in your head as Marines, guys who you look up to and influenced you as a young Marine.
So, a lot of had some really good staff NCOs, and to name a few of those, my first platoon sergeant, that man, that name, the first time seeing him, at the time he was a staff sergeant Miles Beasley, currently master sergeant, I believe, not sure where he's at in the Corps these days, just really looked out for us, and true leadership from that guy all around, on and off duty, just really looked out for us. He always had, he's famous for his one word safety brief, and anybody that's ever known him knows how that goes.
Hold on, what was the one word?
Bafuma. So if you fuck up on the weekends, you get Beasley's foot up my ass. That's his one word safety brief.
There you go. That's a good one, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, nobody needs to help tell you how to drive and blah, 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 blah,
yep.
blah, blah.
You hear it every week.
If you screw it up, you're going to deal with me.
Yep.
Nice. Nice. All right. Give me one other guy who made a big impression on you as a Marine.
Staff Sergeant Wallace at the time, not sure where he's at these days either. I was the first PSC crew chief in my company in many, many years or whatever, and he just really helped guide me and get me to that point. And opportunity came around, promoted a Lance Corporal who had been to Iraq and been back but couldn't live up to the responsibilities and, you know, the things, the characteristics it takes to be an AAV crew chief. So can that guy, and PSC Bassett got moved up. So Staff Sergeant Wallace was great guy, you know, done the whole thing, you know, in Amtrak's, all the floats, the invasion, everything like that. So he was a great guy to learn from and serve under.
Wow. All right. So, you head to Afghanistan in what year?
In 2011, I deployed to Afghanistan with 2nd Marine Division Forward, and I was part of the G3 counter IED team. So I was essentially, you know, obviously no Amtraks in Afghanistan. So it was an IA billet. Got thrown on the deployment about 2 weeks before we shipped out. Had no idea what I was getting into, where I was going, kind of thing. Ended up being out of Camp Leatherneck for the majority of the deployment, but once I got there, I ended up going to Kandahar to get some training on the electronic countermeasures, so the Thors and Guardians and the vehicle jammers as well. So over there, that's what I worked on, the ECMs, and I'd move out into the AOs as new battalions were coming in and just kind of go through reset training with them, and they'd push me around their AO however they needed me.
You know, isn't it a great thing being on All Marine Radio? ECMs, AO, we don't even have to clarify that.
Yeah.
People know.
Exactly.
Anyway, for those people who don't know, ECM means?
Electronic countermeasure.
All right. AO means?
So it's area of operation.
Okay. So Mike,
the ECMs are, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
ECMs are, you know, signal jammers pretty much. So they defeat radio controlled IEDs, and it was a very low threat at that time in Helmand.
Right.
But you know, if that's one less thing you have to worry about, then, you know, you get to spend a lot more time and focus a lot more of your instincts and your senses on the things that don't necessarily have, you know, ways to defeat them.
Did you work with both ground mounted ECMs and vehicle mounted, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And so you were there for a year?
Yes.
Give me a lesson learned from, one huge lesson learned from your time in Afghanistan.
Just always being on your toes, you know, and even for a guy that was in the rear at Camp Leatherneck, and just when I would push out to those AOs and be around the Marines that were out there pumping it every day, patrolling hours and hours every day, just soaking in as much as I could from them and their closeness and just bonds and everything like that. And just hearing the stories they had and, you know, just the day in and day out of what they do and things they worry about, you know, compared to the things I was worried about back at Camp Leatherneck or even, you know, as I transitioned out, you know, it's like there are some real problems out there in the world, you know, and it's, for me, it was easy to take that experience and turn it into, instead of sitting and dwelling on it and being sad or isolating, being depressed, it's like, you know, think of those guys there that are doing that now or even were doing it then, you know, it's like things could be a lot worse.
You know, that's a pretty good lesson to walk away from that experience with. You know, I tell people that when asked, you know, Marines have a tendency to play whose dick is bigger relative to trauma.
Absolutely.
Or whatever. And I remember sitting in hearing somebody talk, and I remember saying, yeah, but, you know, it can always be worse. And then somebody said, like, well, like, how much worse? I said, well, I'll give you worse. I said, my sister's two sons, her husband shot them both in the head and then killed himself. Her only kids. I said, now, look, no matter what we've seen, none of us have seen anything like that.
And yeah.
I said, if you need a little bit of frame of reference, I said, toughest human being I know is my sister, who lives with that every day. And I said, so if she can do it, we
incredible.
Can. Yeah, we can. And you know what I mean? I mean, so, but,
yeah.
But, you know, what you said is important. No matter where you were, you know, one of the chief lessons is, you know what, it could always be worse. There's people that always saw worse than I did. And I'm probably lucky to be where I was. And so interesting. Let's talk about the way we deal with post-combat mental health. First of all, why did you write the email to me after you heard the discussion with I had him with both Ken Falk and with Josh Goldberg. So what motivated you to write?
So what motivated me to write was that, you know, I'm hearing you guys talk about this program that they're doing down there in Virginia and great program and everything like that. But to me, because of my background, I'm a certified therapeutic recreation specialist, and now licensed in the state of New Hampshire. So after I got out of the Marine Corps, got involved with therapeutic recreation, through my degree path at Illinois State University. So I've been following these programs all over the country that serve veterans and in alternative ways to deal with these symptoms, you know, the mental health symptoms and different things like that through, so specifically CPRS, like myself, it's recreation.
Okay, let's talk about that. So you're a certified, explain what that is. I've never heard of it. I'll plead ignorance.
And,
I'm stupid.
No, there's a lot of people that even get in the field that, you know, it's kind of one of those things that people stumble upon, and I'm very fortunate that I did. I found out I could work with veterans doing this, and then I got into my courses, my major specific courses, and just fell in love with it immediately. So
why? What, given your background, being a Marine, you know, having spent a year, you know, in Afghanistan, what about it appealed to you?
I was fortunate to not see combat when I was in Afghanistan, even for the 1 year length that I was there. But you know, handfuls of friends that I grew up with. I had one of my best childhood friends was shot and killed in Helmand in 2010.
Who?
So his name is Lance Corporal R.J. Newton. He is with 3-7 in Sangin.
Right, he's north of us. I was there in 2010. That's why. I asked. So, all right.
Yeah.
Keep going.
So everybody called me a lifer in the Marine Corps, which right. means, you know, you think this guy is staying in for sure. This is going to be Sergeant Major Bassett one day. And, you know, didn't pan out that way. I decided to get out, but I still truly love the Marine Corps, still truly love all the Marines that, you know, past, current, and future, and having brothers in other branches. I love all veterans. So being able to work still kind of, I mean, that's one of the reasons many people join the military is like that service, you know?
Right, right.
So now I can have a gnarly beard like I do and as many tattoos as I want and still serve people.
Right.
And for me, I get to serve my brothers and sisters in arms.
Okay. So that it's that same kind of service gene that you have that got you to the Marine Corps. That got you to do it. It made sense to you to do what you do.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, and you're, and where you, just tell me, so where are you working right now?
So right now I'm a recreational therapist at Northeast Passage, which is out of, the University of New Hampshire in Durham, New Hampshire.
Okay.
And, the program I'm working with is called the PASS program, and it's Promoting Access, Transition, and Health. So this program's a little different than many of the programs that are out there, and it's one of the reasons that drew me here is that this PATH program is one-on-one, strength-based recreational therapy. And so we get a referral, a veteran calls us, says, hey, so-and-so at the VA, my speech therapist, my primary care, told me about this program, you know, I'm kind of interested in it, and then, you know, we do our assessment with them, we get them going in the program, and then we go to their home community and identify these different resources and equipment that are in their home community. And then the intent is that at the end of our 12 visits, up to 1 year, we high five, you know, and they're off running with it. They're continuing to do these things that are in their home community as opposed to some of these other programs, which are great. But, you know, they remove you from your home, as in, you know, you fly away to some glamorous place, you know, and float down the river for a week, and everything's taken care of. You get good food. You know, you're seeing parts of the country you've never seen. All great things. But what happens when you get back? And this program is, you're here. This is, you know, your little, this is your AO in America and where you are in your state. In your health, and what are the things that you used to do recreational-wise, and what are the things maybe you're interested in trying, and we're kind of like a battle buddy, so to speak. So we go out and do these things with them, and it's really awesome because it's sustainable. So as the program's going along, we start to be less involved, and we're starting to see them take more control and making plans to go out and, you know, meet other veterans for a mountain bike ride or for a cribbage tournament or, you know, whatever it might be.
The my guest today here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network is Mike Bassett, a former Marine, and right now he's a program specialist at a place called Northeast Passage, and we're talking about what he does. Tell me about the whole recreation thing, and you know, I'm sure you hear this. You hear the same thing I hear, Mike, which is, I don't want to be medicated. You know, I've done that. I don't want to feel like a zombie anymore. I don't want to feel numb. I want somebody to help me deal with my problems.
Talk to me
about that. I mean, if I've heard that once, I swear to God, I've heard it a million times. Talk to me about the need of veterans that seems to be not being met. And there's places, there's evolving, therapies, or I don't know if I should call it protocols or therapies that use other things other than drugs to get people through, their post-traumatic, mental health issue. Talk to me about hearing that and being a veteran and then seeing these emerging things. Do you think the information about these alternatives is getting out, or are we still kind of scratching on the side of a cave?
I think it's definitely growing in popularity. People are starting to become more aware. People are seeing, in veterans I talk to, like, I just left the VA and I got 8 new prescriptions and I don't take any of them because right. Why, you know? And, you know, like you said, I feel like a zombie. I'm, you know, not myself, this and that. But it's definitely growing in popularity and knowledge. People are seeing things like these different, you know, either the flyaway camps or programs like the PATH program that I'm in. It's definitely growing, and it's important that people are aware of it. However, I think, like you said, it's still, I don't think it's even broken the surface yet on the amount of people that could be informed about these programs and the alternatives to pharmaceuticals. And what's awesome about when you think about, you know, the things you like to do, like, oh, you know, whatever it is you like to do, I'm having a rough day. I've been depressed. I'm going to go skiing just, you know, off by myself, whatever it may be. And people don't see those right away, as coping mechanisms or, you know, different strategies for dealing with their depression or their PTS. And that's one thing that through recreation comes easily, you know. Think of the things, if you're out there fishing with a buddy and you're on the same boat or you're just standing on the bank together, the healthy conversations that just come up and, you know, nobody's even necessarily like guiding the conversation. It just, stuff comes out when you're doing these things. And then other transferable skills come from participating in recreation. And unless you're, you know, I guess like a CTRS like myself or other recreation professionals, you know, you don't see recreation in that light. You think of it just as like, oh, this is fun, I'm going to go do it. So, you know, whatever it may be, getting out there and doing those things, you start getting, you know, you're not isolating anymore, you're not sitting in your home, you start to, you know, manage those feelings of anxiety or depression, you start to talk to other people, you start to build this social network, and then all of a sudden, you know, another beautiful thing about recreation is when you're there, when you're in the moment, and you're, you know, fly fishing, maybe, you're trying to get that perfect cast down, and as you're focusing on all the different techniques and things that go into a good cast when you're fly fishing, everything else is gone, and you don't even realize it. So that's the beauty of recreation for me, and I get to provide that to other veterans.
Mike, here's an email for you. My guest is Michael Bassett, all right? Former Marine, former Amtracker, and that's about as far as we're going to go with that. He's now a program specialist, and he's a therapeutic, what's the right term, therapeutic recreational?
It's a certified therapeutic recreation specialist.
There you
mouthful.
Go.
CTRS right. For short.
Okay. Right, so essentially he links recreation to therapy, and so the email kind of talks about that. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. Can Michael explain how recreation helps me with my issues relative to mental health, anger, and all the other things I feel, and making that better? How does recreation help that as opposed to simply passing some of my time and making me happy for the time that I'm doing that? I'm not sure I understand the linkage between recreation and better mental health. So I guess that goes to the crux of what you do, Mike.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I'll just kind of reiterate what I've already said, you know. You might not realize it, but when you're in that moment and doing whatever activity that is, your activity of choice, whatever recreation you love to do, you get out there, you start doing it, things as you're focusing on whatever skills or techniques you need to use to do that activity, it kind of takes the other things, it takes place of the other things, and you might not realize it at the time. And that's what's beautiful. It's what we call flow. As your skills are being matched by the difficulty of the task, you have to be focused in that moment or things are going to go wrong. You're going to have a bad cast. You're not going to get your fly out there. You're not going to, make that turn on the slopes, whatever it may be. So in a sense, recreation is an alternative method to dealing with those symptoms, and kind of lost my train of thought there, but just kind of dealing with those symptoms in what you're doing and you're not realizing it. And you just, the transferable things that come from it, the way you feel on the inside when you're doing something that you chose to do because you like to do it, different feeling of being out and participating in society as opposed to just sitting at home or whatever it may be.
Okay, so by pushing it out of the way, as you focus and you feel good about doing something, that is the beginning of getting it out of the frontal viewer and moving it off to the side as you move to something better.
Right. And when you start to deal with those things through recreation, you start to, feel better, like, oh, I wasn't angry for the whole time I was fly fishing. I wasn't mad. I was in my zone. I was doing good. That starts to transfer into your other activities of daily living. The other things, you'd be at the grocery store and, somebody bumps your card or somebody cuts you off in the parking lot and you start to feel that working up again. And then all of a sudden you think back to being on the lake, flat water, just your rod and your reel and just making that, what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. All right. So it by creating a positive experience, and by getting somebody's creative energy involved in that, you begin to push the pain to the side. And then as that push starts, when they do maybe backslide there, they know they have an outlet that will take them back to a better place. And as you do that over time, you force the pain to the side, and you begin to move forward better.
Right. Instead of, compiling all the shitty things that you've experienced, that you've dealt with, your military service, your home life, your work, your new disability from serving, whatever it may be, through recreation, you can start to pile up these other things, these other memories that you can focus on that are good memories, and you start to pull from those, from that giant pile instead of this pile of shit,
I'm with you. So what do you want? What do you want, Marines to know when they begin to take a look at programs and begin to take a look at the guys that are the guys we're talking about? I'm tired of being medicated. I'm tired of feeling like this. What is your message for them?
My message is to search for those different programs or those alternatives out there, or even take it upon yourself to come up with something, and that can come in many ways. It can come from participating in some of these programs, flying off and doing one of these great camps. But I think it's very important that veterans communicate with other veterans. However, it's very important that you also participate in society. Not every person you come across is going to be a veteran or have that experience and share that with you. So it's important for reintegration that you understand the role of, the civilians in your day-to-day life. But there's so many ways to be involved and get get the alternative treatment and things that you need other than the medication. I mean, even if it's volunteering, even if it's coaching, you know, if you're really good at something and you want to pass on how passionate you are about, you know, woodworking, you know, maybe talk to some veterans and maybe try and get a little class together, you know, right in your community, or see if there's something around there that you can help out and volunteer with, or, and it doesn't have to be with other veterans. It could be, you know, teens or, you know, senior citizens, whatever it may be. But also I think it's very important that, you find an identity. I think one issue I've seen for the last 5 years since I've been out is veterans get out and they're just so hell-bent on, this is the greatest period of my life. These 3 or 4 or 6 years, whatever it was, nothing will be greater than that. When you think of it, you know, what are Americans living to these days, 80s or 90s, you know, that's such a small part of your life. Although those events and that time in the military was so huge, I think what helped me with my transition, I got back from Afghanistan in around this time in 2012, started school in August of 2012. That was a very quick transition for me. And what helped me after that first year was getting involved in different things, the student organizations. I worked at the Veterans Services Office. I had a part-time job at a bar, just getting out there and meeting people. So after that first year, I wasn't telling people like, oh, I just got back from Afghanistan, or, oh, I just got out of the Marine Corps. I'm like, oh, I'm a therapeutic recreation major at ISU. I'm a president of a national veterans service fraternity. You know, I started to find other ways to identify myself other than, and I'm not saying, not trying to take away from anybody's service or the great things that they did or the amazing places, some of us have gotten to see. I did a UNITAS, so that was a whole different, wheelhouse than Afghanistan. But yeah, just finding that identity and being okay with letting go of that service and find new ways to identify yourself.
All right. The, another question for you, another email question for you. Hey Mac, I'm curious, in terms of recreation, it seems like Mike's saying that he's biased towards a program that's in your community in order to sustain it. Am I right about that? Does he feel like that's the important piece of something local?
Mike? Absolutely not. I think, like I said, I think there's over 40,000 service organizations.
Wow.
And some of those programs, I did my internship with a program in Idaho called Higher Ground Sun Valley. And that was what I would say is one of those flyaway programs. We did 5 days of programming, the front end and on the back end were travel days. So we bring, Higher Ground brought veterans from all over the country to, let's say we did a whitewater rafting trip up there in the backcountry. And so it's the first time that all those veterans have met. And you get very close with that group of people in a very short amount of time. And then they're on day six or seven when people are flying home, completely new bonds were built, you know, new relationships were built. And doesn't necessarily have to be a program that's right in your area. I mean, and that's the good thing about what I do too, and all the different nonprofits that are out there in veteran service organizations. We're not necessarily in competition with each other.
Right.
We all have the same goal in mind, like treat our veterans with alternative methods to their symptoms of PTS and depression, isolation, things like that.
One more question, email question, and then I'll let you go. My guest this morning is Mike Bassett, and he joins us from New Hampshire, I think, right?
Yep, that's where I'm at currently.
All right, educated at Illinois State University, and a former corporal in the United States Marine Corps. Email says this. Mac, is there recreational activities that lend themselves more to mental health? One of the interviews you did, I recall listening to, was with Charlie Linville, who went to the top of Mount Everest. And I'll never forget him saying on the program that he needed a challenge bigger than his pain to focus himself and to push that stuff out of his life, or at least towards the side. Does Mike have an opinion about that? Are there different kinds of activities that lend themselves more to immersion and therefore pushing stuff to the side? Or is it simply whatever you enjoy? So, Mike, you have your thoughts on that?
I think that there are some programs that are out there that have done a lot of research in the specific type of recreation that they use. However, I think it's important that you're doing what you feel is important to you. The type of recreation one person chooses to do is not the same as the next person or what they see as challenging. I serve veterans that, you know, love, you know, the outdoors and mountain biking, skiing, things like that. And then I have veterans who want to go line dancing, or, you know what I mean. So I wouldn't say, and unfortunately I don't have any statistics off the top of my head that say, like, yes, you know, 100% of veterans that go fly fishing have, you know, shown improvement in their PTS symptoms. I unfortunately can't say that, but there are, I can name an agency out there that's called the R4 Alliance.
Mm-hmm.
And, they kind of give a stamp of approval on some of these veteran service organizations, such as Higher Ground or even Northeast Passage, where I'm at now. And some of the things that R4 is, to be an R4 member is you have to submit research with your program. So there is efficacy to most of these programs that are out there. So if that's the thing you're looking for, if you're like, okay, well, I'd rather do a recreation program other than pharmaceuticals, and which one is the most effective, you may be able to find some research along those lines. But I wouldn't say that it's necessarily going to be the same for everyone.
Okay. All right. Hey, Mike, what haven't I been smart enough to ask you relative to non-traditional or alternative post-traumatic stress? And again, I would broaden this, not just, you know, the military doesn't own post-traumatic stress. It occurs in all walks of life. It was, you know, my sister's a good example, a domestic violence a victim. It, you know, first responders deal with it. People that go through, a friend of mine had a heart attack, a female at an age that she's not supposed to have it. And so all of a sudden you go through that, and there's not somebody there to help you with the mental health piece of this. So we don't own it. What haven't I been smart enough to ask you that you want to tell people?
Huh.
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. No, you've done a great job. I mean, I think
I'm an infantry guy. It's all about us, and you know that.
I know one of my best friends is a molecular cellular biology major at ISU right now, so, and he's a Marine infantryman.
Yes, so there you go.
Yeah, breaking the damn mold, that's for sure. No, I think as we've hit on a couple times, just the awareness and things out there. Unfortunately, there's not some great database of every service that you can receive as a veteran. So that's why I think it's super important that veterans talk to other veterans, and that's one big way that we get new clients with our PATH program is word of mouth, like, you know, or even within our programs, you know, veterans talk and say, oh, well, you know, I got this grant, because of my disability, the VA paid to remodel my home, and now it's all ADA accessible, and I don't have to move, and I can actually live in my home still, and pass that information on to another veteran. So that's important, and also I really, really liked what you said about we don't own PCS, and it's really hard for a lot of veterans, and I think mostly for a lot of, the majority is the younger veterans that are just getting out or just getting back. You know, it's like, oh, what does this person know? They didn't go to combat. It's like, okay, it's not combat traumatic stress. It's post-traumatic stress. And I mean, and this even, you know, military sexual trauma, things like that, it's just really horrible things that do occur in the military, and you can get those, you know, you can have PTS from other events other than combat. So I think it's important that veterans are just aware of that and kind of just meet other veterans with an open mind about what they're dealing with. Every story is different, and that's every walk of life, not just veterans.
All right. Well, Mike, I hope you don't mind in the future when we have post-combat related mental health issues that we want to talk about, if we give you a call and bring you back on.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be really interested.
Okay. Well, first of all, let me thank you for the email that day. One of the things I love most about All Marine Radio is meeting people that are interested in the same things, giving them a forum. This interview will go on up on our website, on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Shotgun Around the Planet, and people listen to it. And you never know who's listening, who's looking for help, and who something that'll resonate with them. So on behalf of a lot of people, thanks for sending that email. Thanks for coming on this morning, and we'll do this again.
Absolutely, it was awesome. Thank you for having me.
No. Final question. Hey Mac, I'm not a Marine. And then in parentheses, please don't hate me. We love everybody. I don't understand what the yat was thing he said. What does that mean? Okay. Because I'm in a benevolent mood right now, explain to everybody what yat yas is.
So yat yas, YATYAS, stands for if you ain't tracks, you ain't shit. So if you're not an Amtracker, you're not amphibious assault vehicle
you're not
operator.
Shit.
Now, you ain't shit.
How these guys ever got that saying is beyond me. But it's painted, right? It's painted on the side of a building at Camp Pendleton, at Camp Del Mar.
It's the Amtrak Museum.
There you go. And it's like all over. And the building's painted yellow, right? And the letters are in red, and let me tell you, it's not like they're like 4 inches tall. The letters, I think, are what, like maybe 20 or 30 feet high? It's huge.
It is in true Amtrak fashion.
Exactly. So like the red, so as an infantryman, you look at that and you're like, what are these ass clown Amtrakers doing? Like, who the hell do they think they are? But they've got their own thing, and so we like them, so we live with it. So anyway. There you have it. All right, I hope you're happy. Mike, first of all, a pleasure to meet you. Thanks you very much for doing this. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
All right, bud. Have a great one.
You too.
There you have it. Mike Bassett here on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Radio Network. We're going to take a quick break. The Gunner's going to join me next as we continue. All Marine Radio, All Warrior Radio Network. Don't go away.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.